Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. But before we get started, I'd like to once again thank our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Lori Brewer, and she is with LBA Ware. Welcome, Lori.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Before we get too far into things, tell us about LBA Ware. What are you up to? How do you serve folks?
Thanks, and thanks again for hosting me on the show. LBA Ware is a company that I started in 2008, so in the last financial crisis. And I had grown up as an engineer and a software developer. I had worked 10 years at a mortgage lender. That mortgage lender and the bank that owned us went into FDIC receivership. In 2008, during that time, if you were around and remember that, it was a tough time for banks and mortgage companies. So I took my skills, you know, quote unquote, on the road with my laptop in my living room and started doing custom software for mortgage lenders. 10 to 12 years later, I guess we're about 12 years later. I have about 42 employees, and we have software as a service, two platforms that we run as subscription basis for mortgage lenders. And one is around business analytics, helping the efficiency of mortgage lenders. If you've ever gotten a mortgage loan, you know there's lots of paperwork and a lot of painful questions and things you have to do. So we help those companies make the loan run more efficiently. And the second platform is all around paying their people. So an incentive compensation platform that measures and pays people within the lender based on the activities that they do.
Now, I guess this kind of the idea of this happened during the crisis. You were able to see kind of both sides' pain points, the banker and the mortgage broker and the mortgage person. And that kind of gave you the thought, hey, there has to be a better way. Was that what happened at that point?
Right. Prior to the financial crisis, mortgage loan originators were paid on the profit of a loan. So if you remember some of the strange products back then, option arms, pick a pay, all these things, they may be somewhat incented to direct borrowers into those loan programs because they were more profitable. So after 2010 and 11 and Dodd-Frank came about that said a loan originator cannot be compensated on the profit of a loan, but must be, there are specific parameters of the loan that they can only be compensated on and mainly just the volume of the loan amount itself, but not any terms of the loan. So it's a strange dichotomy in the mortgage world in that their number one expense and highest paid employees are not aligned with their incentives of the company. The company is, of course, trying to make the highest profit. And the loan originator is incented on just volume, but not on the bottom line. It's a strange regulatory environment, but our software helps kind of navigate that situation, stay compliant, still incent the sales staff, and still help the bottom line of the companies.
And then, so when you're developing this, how did you, like, at what point were you like, hey, I think I'm onto something here? When did you start getting traction?
Yeah, great question. When you're a startup and you're kind of just feeling your way through, at the beginning, it was just whoever would pay me to do something. I was a developer, and I do think that's important. If you're going to start a company, you have to be able to physically do all the parts of the company. And so I was working just on a contract basis. And when I started hearing the same pain points over and over about trying to automate how commissions were going to work in the new environment, I first wrote the program for a lender in Houston, Texas. And then there was another lender in Houston, Texas that got word of it. They wanted the same type of thing. So that's kind of right off the bat, I recognized that this could be something that multiple lenders would need. And so luckily we transitioned to create a platform that that we could sell to multiple lenders rather than it be a one-time project. So it was really just keeping, you know, visiting people. I got out of the building. I went as much as I could. I stayed in people's offices to learn about their business and see where I could help, even if that meant I'd lose money on their project. But that allowed me to understand their business and then apply that multiple times because, you know, most of these lenders were having the exact same challenge.
And that's good advice for the kind of startup business leader. You know, one time might be a project, but two times might be a trend, and then you might have something, right? If more than one person's asking for something similar, there might be a reason to kind of try to scale your solution.
Exactly. And if you're sitting there with your laptop getting paid per hour to write code, that's just not sustainable. So yeah, that's the trick. Figure out how you can repeat it. And then somebody once told me, you know, generate mailbox money. So write it, sell it multiple times where you're not having to be paid by the hour.
Now, how did you get that client in Houston? Because you're based in Georgia, right?
Correct. Basically through the network, you know, of people that I knew. When in 2008, basically I was out of a job. So you get very creative in reaching out to everybody you know. And it just so happened that I connected with people I'd worked with in the past in Houston and was able to work out that initial project.
Now, when you were growing your company and it was kind of evolving from a project, an idea to something that you were like, okay, this might have legs. I'm going to have to build a team now. It can't just be me anymore. Did you have any help or mentors to help you kind of make that transition from kind of a contract person, a contract worker, to kind of a leader of a team?
Yeah, another great question. I will always take advice. whether or not I apply it. Early on, I joined Entrepreneurs Organization there in Atlanta. They have a great chapter of EO that was fantastic. And then I'm also part of the Atlanta Tech Development Center, ATDC. Again, another fantastic organization. And ATDC, if you're even thinking about starting a company, is a great place to turn because they have a lot of resources and a lot of experts and individuals that have been there, done that. So I relied a lot on and reading and a lot of podcasts of listening to people that have gone through the same thing. It's a bit of a uncomfortable situation when you have to start hiring people, but you just have to make the leap of faith. And I think to a certain degree, it's luck if you get the right person. But I do believe hire slow and fire fast. So I would wait until this is advice someone gave me also that I always remember is don't hire until you're in pain. And I still do it, and probably it frustrates everyone here. But, you know, at the point where we just can't keep up, okay, it's time to find more people. I'm loosening up on that now. We're up to 40 people. We're hiring at a better clip now. I mean, that may still sound really small to people, but 40 is a lot for us. But initially, the first few people, it's so critical to get the right folks. And if right off the bat, if they don't work out, I went through several engineers before I found some that we clicked. And then those folks are still with me today.
So now, now that you've kind of built out a team and now that you're kind of in, really working in this industry and growing the company, is this how you envisioned it growing? Like, is the vision that's happening now what you imagined it could be when you started?
So that's, I guess, a little hard to, I kind of set out to make a successful company, build software, software developers to a certain degree are kind of artists. I think I fall in that camp. I feel good when I create things. I don't know that I can honestly say that 10 years ago, I envisioned having 40 people and 100 clients and all of these things. It was more just a challenge to build something that would help mortgage lenders in for getting folks in homes and do that compliantly and fairly. There's a lot of struggles around fair housing. And so if we could help our clients generate more homes for their borrowers and their clients, that felt like success to me. And then if I could make money doing it and also have a great time and create jobs in Macon, which is where we're based, in a software development community, then that was success. I did not look at it as a certain size, goal, if that makes sense.
So the impact on the community was a driver for you as well. It wasn't just to solve this problem. It was to really address a larger problem.
Yes, 100%. So in my community there, you know, most engineers and anyone that's in tech, it will head out, right? We'll head to Atlanta or somewhere else because that's where the jobs are. We've created in downtown Macon's had a resurgence. It's a fabulous place to be. And so we've created a pocket of, jobs in tech. And I think it's exciting and the community supports it. And now we're able to start giving back. We support, you know, our mandate for giving back is supporting local, high school and younger kids to get some type of, you know, to get a higher education and whatever it is, not necessarily technology, but just help, the economy and the kids that may not have everything that, we did. So we're able to give back now and be an example in the community that there's just not a lot of software companies here. So, it's fun standing out and kind of touting our story that it can be done anywhere, right? You can create a tech company anywhere. And of course, that's being proven out during the pandemic. You don't have to be in a central location as long as you can bring in the talent to support what you're doing. And so to me, that shows that I feel so good about that. And that's the success of the company, not necessarily the money, but just the fact we've created jobs here and established an organization that can give back to the community.
Now, in the mortgage industry, are they embracing it sounds like you're getting kind of more and more clients. Is this something that's becoming more accepted in the industry, in the mortgage industry, to have software that solves this specific problem?
Yes, you know, for compensation, the number one competitor is Excel. So, and with most of the things we do, we are replacing processes that the lenders have set up manually. It's surprising when you get inside of a bank or a financial institution how much it's still run on spreadsheets, and there's nothing wrong with spreadsheets. But at a certain point, it gets so complicated and you start relying on one or two people that know the process. So we're able to take that process and then automate it and make it more dependable and accurate. And honestly, Lee, I forgot the question, but...
But it's becoming, the mortgage industry is kind of becoming more comfortable in having a third party solution to this rather than their own internal kind of homegrown Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, right. Yes. Thank you. Yes. I think, you know, the industry that traditionally is a little bit behind some of other industries to adopt tech. And a lot of that is because every, you know, few months, regulatory restrictions and laws are changing. So it's a strangely complex business. It shouldn't be, but there's so many moving parts. It is, of course, adopting tech. It's just, I think, a little bit behind just because it is a little bit more complicated. There are a lot of gotchas, if you will, on how you have to operate. And that's because it's all about financing somebody's primary home. So there's a lot of restrictions and regulatory organizations that are auditing your business nonstop, and that makes it hard to adopt new technology. But yes, for certain banks and lenders, definitely are moving in that direction and want to move in that direction.
So now for you, is this just a matter of getting in front of more banks and lenders to let them be aware of your software?
Yes, and that's interesting right now too with the pandemic, because it is, as far as people go, kind of a small world. And so a lot of our business is gathered by going to conferences and meeting with people face to face. I think that's probably out for the rest of the year. So we're kind of struggling with, and everybody is over Zoom, right? I mean, I don't think anyone wants to sit on any more Zoom calls than they have to. So we're kind of struggling with how to get in front of people when it still is kind of an old school relationship, face-to-face type industry. So that's going to have to change as far as how we do sales and marketing. Luckily, because of the interest rates being down, it didn't quite make sense to me, but the industry right now, home sales are up 21% last month. And that was April was strong. March was a little down, but this spring has been extremely strong because of the fact that they've lowered rates so low. So we are still seeing strong activity on demos and sales that I hope will continue. But our traditional way of, you know, getting business is to go out and meet with people, and that's going to have to change. And we're still trying to figure that out.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the website?
Thank you. LBAWARE.com, LBAWARE.com. And my name is Lori Brewer. And yes, if anyone's interested in talking further, we'd love to have a conversation.
Good stuff. Well, Lori, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's amazing work, and it's really making an impact in Macon. And that's a great example for others that, especially in this kind of where more and more people are working from home and you can live anywhere, why not live in Macon? And, you know, and take advantage of all the great reasons to be living in a smaller town and not have to deal with all the kind of bigger city hassles that come along for the ride with that.
Right, right. Thank you so much, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we couldn't be doing this work without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please check them out so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.